is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Senators Markey, Merkley, Wyden, and Sanders reintroduced legislation to ban U.S. oil exports. Dateline, April 23rd, 2021. I welcome Josh Rogan, who writes global opinions for the Washington Post. It is several months later, and right now this legislation is being advanced by significant members of Congress, generally identified with the progressive side, but all voices are concerned now about the price at the pump. Within these last hours, the president himself, concerned about the price at the pump, has called Congress to suspend the 18.4 cents a gallon federal gas tax, as well as the 24.4 cents a gallon diesel tax. Josh, a very good evening to you. Ban all oil exports. I learned that this story did not begin in the, as I presumed, 19th century with the discovery of oil. It began in 2015 when we started to export our oil. What is the thinking about banning it, and why did we suddenly start to export it 150 years after we discovered it? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Well, you know, it took a long time for the United States to become a net exporter of petroleum products for a simple reason is that we found a lot more petroleum products. We thought there was a shale revolution and, you know, there's we now have liquid natural gas, which is not petroleum, but also added to our energy resource pool. And all of a sudden, the Obama administration, to the chagrin of progressives within his own party, lifted the ban in 2015. The progressives have been trying to undo that ever since. And whenever the gas prices go up or there's another excuse to justify this ban, the progressives will surely use it to reinvigorate this long held effort. But the truth is, the reason that they don't want to export oil is because they believe that perpetuates the oil industry, and they're trying to kill the oil industry to move on to renewables. And by that logic, every dollar that goes to expanding petroleum exports perpetuates the thing that they think is going to exacerbate climate change. But the problem with that is that, you know, you can't turn the world energy system on a dime. And until renewables reach the level where they could actually replace the petroleum products, you know, shutting down the petroleum industry doesn't really make any economic sense or energy sense. And then when you add the current disruptions, the pandemic, the Russian attack on Ukraine, a global inflation, global supply cutoffs, the abstinence of the Middle East Gulfy monarchies, what you get is a perfect storm. And that's why we have $6 a gallon gas in my neighborhood right now. So again, here come the progressives saying, hey, if you want to lower gas prices, let's just ban all oil exports and keep all of our oil. But it doesn't make sense for a number of pretty obvious reasons when you think about it. For one, there's a global oil market and the prices are set on the world stage. So when you cut supply, when you hoard it, when you take U.S. exports out of that market, the prices are going to go up, not down, for everybody eventually. And two, you know, when you think about all the different products, some of them we refine here, some of it we refine in Europe, some of the raw products come in, some go out. It's a very complicated system. And tinkering with it in the middle of another crisis, it's just crazy. And for those two reasons, I really hope the Biden administration doesn't listen to the progressives when they call for this.
The president's on his way for an embassy to the Middle East, and that is a good thing. At the same time, the president and others have made assurances to our European allies that their shortfall in energy, oil and gas from Russia will be made up by, well, Venezuela, perhaps, or Saudi Arabia, perhaps, or the United States. So it would appear that the president's supporters are not following the logic of that the president is looking for oil, not looking to ban oil to our European allies. Is that all correct, Josh?
Yes. Not only is it correct, it's a growing divide inside the Democratic Party because, you know, there's a big part of the Democratic Party that has a big constituency of people who want to pay less for gas. Okay, most Democrats want to pay less for gas. However, it's only a small part of that party that actually wants to kill the petroleum industry right now, especially in the middle of the pandemic and the war. Again, because of the obvious reasons, it makes the problem worse in the short term. So that, you know, what you see when the president goes to the Middle East is you see him, you know, going hat in hand to beg the Saudis to increase oil production for a simple reason. They're really the only ones with any excess capacity. And they still might not do it, or they might do something very symbolic that also doesn't fix the problem. And, you know, the president just can't admit. I mean, he did a little bit today. You saw a little bit of the narrative changing from the White House. But the bottom line is that they don't want to admit the reality, which is that there is no easy fix, that, you know, demand is super high, supply chains are super strained, and supply is super low. So prices are going to be high and remain high and probably get even higher as we get towards the winter. And, you know, and there's not really a lot the president can really do about that. That's why you see him grasping at straws and sending people to Venezuela as if that was going to fix the U.S.-Venezuela relationship. Or, you know, what he did today, which was to announce he wants to see a gas tax holiday that he knows the Congress is never going to pass anyway. It's a lot of kabuki policy. It's a lot of looking busy. It's a lot of trying to claim that he's doing everything possible to lower gas prices and lower inflation, when the reality is that these things are systemic and are likely here to stay.
What we need is refining capacity. I've been told, Josh, right. Have you been told the same thing? We've not built a new refinery, I think, since Jimmy Carter was president.
Right. Not only that, because the Biden administration, until this latest crisis, has been encouraging refineries to shut down. They want first they wanted less refining. Now they want more refining. So if you're in the refining business, why would you make a 10-year investment in new refining capacity? You don't know what the policy is going to be tomorrow. So the Democrats are it's an open contradiction. They want to move on from petroleum and refining, and at the same time, we need more refining. Right. And as I started to say earlier, the other thing about the refining is that we refine things that come from abroad, and our raw products, which are of a lower grade than our refineries can handle, we usually send those to other countries. So refining, again, is a global market and with interconnected systems that have been developed over time. And no, you can't snap a finger or wave a magic wand and produce more. But what you could do is, if you had a sustained smart energy policy, would be to work with allies and partners to support each other to build long-term capacity building in all of these things, in oil and in gas and in nuclear and in renewables. That's the way out of this. But, you know, we keep getting caught up in our own politics. And really, that's the only responsible way to make this transition, which I don't think anybody denies that we need to transition away from fossil fuels. The question is how to do it. And, you know, if you were the Biden administration, you're caught between your ideology and the practical reality of trying to do something to mitigate the current crisis.
You report that in December of 21, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm said that it was a ban on crude oil exports was off the table. Now, the same secretary is saying nothing's off the table. When did the change happen? Ukraine? We have about a minute.
Right. I think the change happened when gas went from 350 to 650.
I see.
All right. And so, again, the progressives brought this up in November when gas was at 350, and Biden people said, no, that's a drastic move. You have to understand that a gas export, oil export restriction is a very drastic move. It's on the more drastic end of the options, and we're not quite there yet. But shoot, we're getting there. You know, the gas tax holiday, that's the thing they announced today, even though it's not going to happen. They're running out of things to say they're doing. Eventually, they're going to get to this one. It's still going to be a very bad idea when they get there. And, you know, what a lot of people are hoping is that they'll be smacked in the face by the reality of the situation, which is that, you know, we can't just put up Fortress America and hoard all of our gasoline and diesel fuel and hope everything goes okay. You know, we have to live in the world and we have to leave the world. And oil, whether we like it or not, is a tool of foreign policy. We're fighting an energy war with Vladimir Putin. We can't let him win. We can't leave our European allies holding the bag just to say that we're lowering gas prices. Plus, it won't work.
Josh Rogan, Global Opinions, Washington Post. I'm John Bashman.